Morning, everybody, again. Welcome to Abing Bible Church. And today we are continuing our series on iChristian. And our topic is iEndure. For those who are new, we are trying to be hip with our topic. But that's the only part that's hip. Okay, everything else is old-time religion. And this is talking about biblical principle of perseverance. And it's part of the last group of our series on iChristian. Totally, we had 24 topics. The last group, three of them, is I love, I endure, and I hope. And I will leave an iEaster till the Easter time. So, okay, we'll see what we do later. Why do we talk about endurance? Because endurance is a key element of love. Christian life, as we have taught many times, is actually a love affair with God that leads to eternal marriage. And therefore, understanding love is very important for understanding life for Christians. And in the New Testament, there is one passage of the Bible which is called the Song of Love. It describes the attributes and the actions of love. Very, very revealing, and it's worth a lesson by itself. And the Song of Love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, interestingly, it begins with patience and ends with endurance. Here it is. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You see, the song of love begins with patience and endures and ends with endurance. Because without these characteristics, the love won't last. And it won't be true love. It's nothing but a flare of emotion. You see, to understand love is to have a Christian life. And therefore, we need to understand endurance, patience, and perseverance. What is the danger of lacking patience, endurance, and perseverance in your life, in your understanding of love, in your practice of love? Well, number one, you might give up on God when time is hard. Okay? And those are for the people who believe in God for the bread and for the goodies, not for God himself. And hopefully we're not like that. Don't give up God when time is hard. And the danger of lacking endurance is giving up self when you fail a test. We know that we are imperfect and we are still sinners. And when we are tested as Christians, we have the power not to fall. However, we don't always appropriate the power from the Holy Spirit by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we don't do that, we may fall again. And when we fall, is that a proof that we lost our salvation? Or is it proof that we never got it? I mean, hopefully that's not your theology, because I believe that the Bible teaches salvation is a once for all thing. If you get it, you get it. It's once for all. Once saved, always saved. But I would add, once truly saved, always truly saved. Okay. There may be someone who are not truly saved. So, once truly saved, always truly saved. But even for truly saved people, there may be times of weakness. And when you do that, do you just give up on yourself and say, okay, since I've sinned, I might as well keep on sinning? That is what the devil wants you to think. No. The Bible says, don't give up on yourself when you fail a test. Okay? Because one thing a believer should have is endurance. Another danger is giving up others when they failed your expectations. Okay. And another is giving up knowing God more, thinking that you have arrived. Another danger is giving up serving God and others, thinking that you have done enough. It's time just for yourself. If you do the above, you might miss the most important thing for Christians. That's the word from the Lord when you meet him face to face. Welcome, thou faithful servant. You see, for Jesus, the greatest pain for him is not the thorny crown, it's not even the nail on the hand. The greatest pain for him is the loss of fellowship with the Father during the 3 days that he was in Hades. Okay. For Christians, the greatest loss for us is you don't get this word from your Lord. Welcome, thy faithful servant. So, endurance, perseverance, patience are important concepts for Christian life. Okay. Now let's do some word study. In the Old Testament, the word patience actually rarely appears, interestingly. It's not that saying that in the Old Testament there is no examples of patience, but in my New American Standard Bible, it only appeared 3 times. And patience, patient. All counted. The Greek word for patience, which is makrothumel, is equivalent in the Septuagint. LXX means 70, okay, 50, L, plus 10, plus 10, okay. That's the code for the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It was written in Hebrew, it's translated to Greek. And I chased this word. I found patience is rarely in the Old Testament. So I found makrothumel in the Greek, and I chased this word in the Septuagint, and I found out it was equivalent to this Hebrew phrase, arek af, which literally means long nostril. It means slow to anger. You know what it means? Nostril, okay? When you're angry, what do you do? And when your lung is full, you explode, okay? That's when you release your wrath. And God has a long nostril. That means he is patient, in a sense, that when you make him angry, he's breathing and he's accumulating, but he has a long way to go because he is a great God. He is slow to anger. Very good translation. And God is patient in nature, and he is especially patient with his people because of his love. However, his patience is finite. Okay, there's a question. If you list God being patient as an attribute of God, then at least one attribute of God is not infinite. Okay. Some theologians, you might have read if you read systematic theology somewhere, that since God is infinite, all attributes of God have to be infinite. Heard of that? Okay, some of you may have. It's a natural derivation. God is infinite, true. But does that mean all attributes of God are infinite? Well, you see, when you do logical deductions, you have always an assumption and you have a derivation, right? And both of them have to be right. And is this right? Necessarily right? Well, you have to define things clearly. Okay. If you say all attributes of God are infinite, well, have you considered patience? Is patience an attribute of God? If it is, then not all attributes are infinite. Or another way to say this is not an attribute of God. That's another way of dealing with it. Either way, you have to deal with it. In my case, I think attribute is some adjective that you use to describe God, okay, that accurately describe God. So is God patient? He is, and it's attribute of God to me, because you can use an adjective to accurately describe God. And therefore, to me, I have to disagree with the statement that all attributes of God are infinite, because at least one is not. Why is patience not infinite? Because it is a balance between his holiness, justice, and love. When you have balance, there are limits, okay, that you cannot go through. So this is the idea that God is patient, but his patience is finite, and it has a limit. And some people take advantage of it at their own cost. When God's patience is exhausted, his attribute of loving kindness will be overshadowed by his attribute of wrathfulness for sin. Okay. Is God still loving and kind? He still is, but it can be overshadowed by his wrathfulness for sin when his patience is exhausted. Okay. So that's the theology. Let's look at the word. God is patient. Okay. Then here's in Exodus 34, God saying to Moses, "Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations.'" Okay. First of all, God is called the Lord. The Lord is the Hebrew Yahweh, or since they don't put the vowels there, it's probably ich-i, to be. And the one who is, okay? The one who was, is, and shall, and will be, okay? Because he always is. So if you have ever tried the Jewish Bible, translated by Dr. David Stern, a Jewish believer, he translated this word, the Lord, as the Eternal One. I think that is appropriate translation. The Eternal One, the Eternal God, the Almighty One. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, having long nostril. Okay? And he's abounding in loving kindness and truth. And his love, however, is abounding. He loves to give to thousands. And sometimes it's translated that his graciousness extended to thousand generations, okay, but there is an issue that for those who sin and those who hate him, he will count their sins to their third and fourth generations. Do parents' sins have consequences on children? Yes, it does. Okay, and how long shall it last? If you observe life, usually it's 3 or 4 generations. Drunkards' children are usually drunkards, and their children are usually drunkards. And until a few years later, a few generations later, somebody says, "I don't want to be like them." And they jump out of this cycle. But it's just interestingly, you know, accurate. And how about when we are counted as God's people, if we are wise, should we be patient with other people? Yes, we should. Here is the word. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience in Hebrew is arek, means long, the long nostril. Okay, the patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Do not be eager in your hearts to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Do not say, "Why is that the former days were better than these?" For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. So, wise people, if you are saved, and you're supposed to learn, you're given the ability to learn, right? And you're supposed to become wiser, okay? And wise people should have patience. Patient with other people, even with their own times. There are certain questions you just should not ask. It's not wise to ask. You know, why is yesterday better than today? It's just not good for you to ask that. Just stop talking about it, okay? Why? Well, it just happens. Okay, today is not as good as yesterday, but tomorrow may be different. So you just take it and live in righteousness day by day. Don't ponder on oh, the comparison, the difference. That's being wise. And be patient with people and time. That's being wise. So now we are into the New Testament. The New Testament, the word patience is makrothumel. Remember, that's the word I chased to find the Old Testament equivalent. Okay, it is translated as being patient, having patience, waiting patiently, and delaying long. Here is an example in Matthew, the word of Jesus. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one of them owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Let's just read $1,000,000. Okay. Because he did not have the means to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayments to be made. That means he's gone. He's a goner. Okay. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, Lord, and I will repay you with everything." What does having patience here mean? It means forgiveness of debts. Okay. And his Lord felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. See, that's an explanation. The Bible explains itself. Having patience means forgiveness here. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 1,000 denarii. Read $100. Okay. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." Same word as his. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all what had happened. Then summoned him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you." This is Jesus speaking. "If each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So what does having patience mean for us? It means forgive what people owed us. People may owe us money, they may owe us an apology, but whatever they owe us, we forgive them, not because of their acts, but because of Christ's acts on us. That's a tall order, but that's an honor. You know, people say, something like to condemn is human and to forgive is divine. Okay. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit to have the power to forgive, but that is expected of us. Okay, and the same word, makrothumia, now is not thumel, which is a verb. Now, makrothumia is noun. Now, it's translated as patience, long suffering. It's used in these places in the New Testament, in Galatians. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there's no law." So patience is an expected attribute on New Testament believers. Because if we are truly saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is patience. Okay? We are expected to have it. Okay? And here, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love." You see, Christians, once we are saved, we are called to love one another. Jesus actually replaced the fourth commandment, that is, obeying the Sabbath. That applies only for the Jews. And he replaced that for the Christians with love one another. Okay? Because when you love one another, you have peace, right? And this love needs to be accompanied with patience. because humans are imperfect, because we often do things that fail expectations, because we often do things that offend people. And when people are rigid, when you become demanding of little things, your love cannot last. Okay? We need to learn to forgive, to have patience. Another example, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitator of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hebrews 6:12. Here's talking about mature believers who have graduated from this life, that they, through their patience, through faith — faith is the beginning of salvation — and then it is the patience, and after patience, they have inherited the promise. What's the promise? Eternal life in righteousness with the holy God in love. Okay, so salvation is a process. It has a beginning. Usually we just say, you're saved. Are you saved or not? We're just talking about the beginning. It's the faith. Okay, when you have faith, you are saved, and it's for all. Okay, it's guaranteed for the latter, but it's not all by itself. Okay, salvation is a process. It has a beginning, which is guaranteed by faith, and then later patience is the connector between the beginning and the end. To inherit the promise, you must start from faith and have patience, whereas patience is important. Okay, here's a summary on patience. Patience is long-suffering, okay, having a long nostril. When you get angry, breathe and count 10, okay? Before you explode. Actually, don't explode. Patience is long-suffering. It's being slow in anger, having mercy, and being forgiving. Okay? God is patient with his people, though his patience is often taken advantage of. The people of God, once saved, should have patience as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And with patience, we forgive and love others. With patience, we wait for the inheritance of God's promise, that is eternal life in righteousness. So, is patience important? Yes, it is. Now, another word, endurance. Here is the Old Testament word for endurance. There have been many words in the Old Testament, Hebrew words, translated as the English word endurance. They are all somewhat related. Okay. Here it is amad. It means to take stand, to stand and endure. In Exodus, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all these people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Remember the situation, background? Moses was almost burned out by trying to do all things in God. You know, we can do everything. We cannot do all things. Okay, Jesus. We can do all things in Jesus. Well, Moses tried to do everything, and he got burned out. And his father-in-law, out of love, gave him an advice: you need to delegate. And he listened. But it's not just by human wisdom; he has to take God's action. See, God distributed the Spirit on him to 70 people. That's how he could delegate. And when you delegate to people, you must delegate to people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are doing the work of God. You don't call an immature person to be a church leader, right? When I was in China, at that time the church was young and all the church leaders are women. However, the Bible have a expectation for the male to be the church leader. And that doesn't come easily. And we have to first teach the women with, you know, whole theology and let them be good pastors then. But by then, in the good theology also included that a faithful, good female church leader should raise up male church leaders. And they do. And it takes time. And after a while, when the young male leaders become mature, then the female leaders will step down and let the male leaders take the position, and the female leaders, the sisters, will go and do sisters' ministry, you know, ministry to women. So that took about a decade for us to fulfill. But, you know, in the process, you don't put the immature, a new male believer as a church leader. No, you don't do that, right? See, it takes the work of God to distribute the Spirit of God before you can delegate. Okay, so here, Ahmad, to stand, without delegating, if you try to do everything, you're going to be burned out. You won't stand. You won't endure. Okay. Another example, the word kum in Hebrew is to stand also. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. This is Samuel talking to Saul. You see, Saul was a king chosen according to the heart of man. The Israel people, they wanted a king like other nations. Therefore, they want a king who is tall and handsome and brave and mighty. Well, they got that in Saul. However, Saul is also very fickle, and he's also arbitrary. He is also empty. He is also vain. He's also knows nothing about God. So he's an empty suit. Well, don't we have people like that in leadership these days? You know, well, after a while, they are proven wrong. People only learn that by suffering. Okay? After you have suffered under such a people, and then they say, okay, we were wrong. God now choose a person after your heart. So this is what God is saying. I'm going to choose one after my heart. It's less about what David does. It has something to do with it, but it's more about the sovereignty of God. That God does the choice. Okay? And for people who choose leaders, their kingdom will not endure, will not last, it will not stand. It's not here for long term. It's going to collapse. Next example, Yakol, it means to be able to have power or to prevail. This is Esther saying, for how can I endure to see that calamity with which will befall my people, and how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? She felt it was her time to act. So she cannot endure the emotion which God brought to her. So Yaakov is to be able to overpower, to prevail, endure. And another word is arak, to be long. Remember, long nostril? this is that same word, to be long. What is my strength that I should wait, and what is my end that I should endure? This is Job saying during his tribulation. Endure, again, to be long. Another word, kol, related with Yaakov, to comprehend, to control, to hold, to sustain. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can break it? The spirit of a man is something that God puts in people with normal psychology. Okay, you have a desire to live. And if you have that, then when you have sickness, you can overcome it with that desire. But if you have a broken spirit, that means you don't have a desire to live, then very little diseases can kill you. Okay, so that's talking about endure sickness, to contain, to hold it. Okay. Now we're in the New Testament. There are several words again about endurance. Aneko is to hold up. It's like the word before in Hebrew. To bear with, to endure, to tolerate. And we toil working with our own hands, and when we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. See, Paul is acting contrary to expectation. For normal people, when you are cursed, you curse back. Okay? When you are crushed, you get crushed. But for him, for Paul, because he has the Holy Spirit, he's a bouncy ball. He doesn't get crushed. And when he's cursed, he blesses. When he is persecuted, he endures. Okay? So that's going beyond expectation. And that's one kind of endurance. Another word, stego, to cover closely so that it won't leak. Okay, and to bear up under. If one shares a right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel. This is Paul talking about he being a full-time Christian worker. He actually has a right to be paid by the church. He is serving the church. He's teaching. He's pastoring the church of Corinth. But he did not get paid. Why? Because he chose not to use his right. See, Christians have rights, yes. But Christians are willing to give up our rights for the sake of God and others. That's the difference between a Christian citizen and a normal citizen. Okay, all citizens have rights, but Christians are willing to not exercise or give up rights if that benefits the name of God or others. So that's what Paul did. And he says, we endure all things. What was he enduring? Well, he had to work double time. He had to make tents while he's pastoring full time. Okay, is that hardship to endure? Yes. Was he willing to do it? Yes. Why? Because he doesn't want to give a hindrance to his mission. For Corinth, they have a Greek culture where there are a lot of sophists. The philosophers who come and give lectures, share their so-called wisdom, they always demand a fee. And in order not to be confused with a regular sophist, because he is representing a giving Christ, a Lord who gave up his life, so Paul gave up his right for salary. Yeah. And that is an endurance. Another example, hupophero. Now, hupo is over, phero is carry. So carry over is to bear by being under or endure. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, also that you will be able to endure it. Is temptation present, and is it a burden? I think it is. We are all tempted somewhat. But do we have the capacity to bear with it and to escape from it if we are truly born again? Yes, we do. Okay, temptation is always there. These days, especially for young men, the pornography is everywhere on the internet. But do we have ways to escape from it? Yes, you can make choices. You can buy a software, you know, whatever. And even if you're just running to something, you can stay there or you can escape. Right? See, we always have the power to escape because God gave it to us. Okay, and he gave us a way to endure temptation. You know, temptation is a nuisance for true believers. They are there. they won't be gone until we're out of this world. But we can endure it. Another example is hupomeno. Now we're entering a major word. Meno means remain. Hupo is over. So remain over means to stay behind. When people are pushed to leave, you stay behind. Hupomeno. That is endurance and perseverance. And to stay, to await, to endure patiently, to persevere. Examples, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, you will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Endure is believing and profess, publicly profess our faith in Christ, even when it is not popular, not hip, or persecuted. Okay? And you have to keep this endurance in order to reign with Christ in the future. Did Christ endure persecutions by his faithless generation? Yeah, many times he said, you know, how long should I stay with this faithless generation? He endured them. He did not explode and zap them. His disciples asked, you know, Lord, why don't we just call fire from heaven and burn those Samaritans who don't receive you? Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm here for. I'm here to forgive and to save, not to condemn. Will he come to condemn the second time? Yeah. But the first time, he came to forgive. So, we need to endure like he endured, okay, in order to reign with him. He endured and he reigned. He's reigning now. So, if we endure, we will reign with him. But if we deny him, under any situation, if we deny his name, he will deny us. Okay, and but if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So what is suffering here for? What is tribulation here for? Why does bad things happen to good people? Somebody ought to write a book with it. Actually, Bishop Spahn, a non-believing bishop, wrote that book. And it has several errors in the title alone. Are there good people? According to Jesus' standard, there is no good people. Okay, so depending on how you define it. But why does tribulation, suffering, happen for God's people? Well, that's a real question. Well, because it is here for to give us an opportunity to prove our faithfulness and to accumulate wealth in heaven and to accumulate God's favor to us. You see, if we do what's right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it and find favor with God. You see, God's favor are for those who are faithful even when they are suffering. The more you demonstrate that, the more favor you earn from God. And your favor from God actually is your wealth in heaven. Okay? So suffering happened to God's people as a good opportunity for us to accumulate wealth in heaven. Okay? Thinking that way, and you will not be depressed. Here, there are two words that are combinational, translated related with enduring. One is kako patheo. Kako is evil. Patheo, you remember pathology? Okay, it's something wrong with you. Okay, so suffering evil, enduring hardship. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Okay, it's a commandment to Timothy. A Christian worker. Another word, sung kako keomai. Sung is together. Kako is evil. Keomai, carry. So endure adversity. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. This is talking about Moses chose to identify with Hebrews rather than with the Egyptians, where he was actually a prince. So by that, he chose to endure adversity. Okay. These are all good people making a right choice to suffer. So here's a summary on endurance. If patience is not exploding by pressures from within, okay, when you have nostril issue, okay, try not to explode. That's patience. Okay. Endurance is not to be crushed by pressures from without. Okay. These are opposite but related. And the life of the people of God on earth is destined to meet adversities, hardship, and persecution, which are tests of faithfulness and opportunities to gain favor with God and wealth in heaven. Endurance is doing righteousness for the long haul, and endurance is being faithful and not being a quitter. Okay. Finally, the last word about endurance is perseverance. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, there are many, many examples of people who are patient and who are perseverant. However, the word perseverance does not appear in the Old Testament. Interesting. You know, we can give you examples, countless. Okay, Abraham waited for 30 years before the promised seed, Isaac. He was 70 years old when he was called out of war. He was 75 when he entered the promised land. And he was 100 when Isaac was born, and he waited for 30 years. Again, the 25 years from 75 to 100 is directly biblical. The 30 years, it depends on your calculation. I'm giving you the result of my calculation, okay? And Isaac waited for 20 years for his seed. This is directly biblical. He was 40 when he married. He was 60 when he had a twin. It was a long time. You know, but God guaranteed, I will give you a seed, and generation by generation, from that seed, there will become as many as the stars of heaven, right? And Jacob waited until the age of 91 for his seed. You know that? He was 77 when he left for his uncle, for Laban. He was 84 when he got married. And in 7 years, he had 12 children. And the next to last was Joseph, who is from the only wife which he wanted to marry. Okay. They were all patient. They waited. David waited for 20 years or more. for the promised throne. He was around 15 when he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. However, he was 30 when he became the king of Judah. And 7 years later, he became king of all Israel. So, these people have all been patient. Israel waited for 400 years for the promised land. God said to Abraham, your seed shall be sojourner for 400 years. Who is his seed? Isaac. How long was Israel a sojourner? Counting from Isaac, before Israel conquered the land. Well, 400 years. So that was a long time. And Judah waited 50 years to return from captivity. And because God said, if you sin so-and-so, and you need to be taken out of the promised land, I will take you back after 70 years. But the 70 years comes from the first exile. Okay, if you count from the last exile, it's only 50 years. But it's still a long time. There are many examples of patience and perseverance. But why is the word not appearing? Well, I would say, because perseverance depends on the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is an absolute concept that is more Greek than Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's more, you know, pictorial. You see, patience is long nostril, okay? It's pictorial, and it's by examples. In Greek culture, it became more abstract. And therefore, in the New Testament, which is written in Greek, we have the concept of perseverance. And because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can be expected to have it. Here are some words translated as perseverance in the New Testament. Epimeno is to stay in, and hupomeno is stay behind, remain. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things so as that this will you ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. This is a command for a Christian minister, first for Timothy, that if he perseveres, others will learn from him. Hupomeno means to stay again, and rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation. Stay behind. When people are leaving the church, when time is hard, you stay behind. When the church has an issue, you don't just immediately hop. You try to stay and solve it. Unless, you know, it's proven you can't solve it, or it's heretical and you have to leave. But you don't just immediately leave. Stay behind. That's perseverance. And hupomone, now it's a noun. This is the key word. If you remember any word from today, it's hupomone. It means to remain behind, to be patiently enduring, to persevere and endure. And now this parable is this. This now Jesus gave in a parable that there are four soils, right? And the first soil, the seed won't even stay there. It's taken away. That means the gospel never get heard. It never entered the ear. And the second soil, the gospel entered the mind, and the heart actually rejoiced. But the seed does not have root. It has sprouts. So the person has a appearance of life, but no real life. The first two kinds of people never had eternal life. The third kind is called among the thorns. And for that kind of people, it had root. It did grow. These people will have eternal life, but they don't bear fruit. So they have no proof of their salvation. For these people, we don't know if they are saved or not. They don't have proof. But they may really get saved. But once they're in heaven, they don't have much rewards or glory. And it's the fourth kind, which is a good soil. For the fourth kind of soil, the seed will not only root, but also grow and mature and bear fruit. How does it bear fruit? Bear fruit with perseverance. You see, if you want to bear fruit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is actually mostly character, peace, love, faith, patience, those things, it's mostly character. To bear these fruits, you need perseverance. You need to stay. You need to stay behind. You need to be here for the long haul. You need to go through the suffering. When you get chiseled upon, okay, think about it. If you are on the rock, okay, and you are discovered by Michelangelo, and he starts to chisel on you, does that hurt? Suppose a rock has feeling. Does that hurt? It does. But you are at the hand of the greatest artist, and you are on the way to become the most beautiful art creature. And if you have faith, what would you do? You give up and run away? The rock run away, okay. But or you stay and let God chisel on you. It hurts, but you are becoming better. Right? See, this is what it's talking about. Bear fruit with perseverance. And same word, hupomone, God will render to each other according to our deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So God will give eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality. How do you seek for those? Well, by doing good with perseverance. So doing good actually is not always rewarding. You have echo with that? Okay. When you're doing good, usually you're doing good to people who are needy, and needy people don't always appreciate it. And they can be demanding. And they may not be, give you enough thankfulness to make you feel better. However, are you doing good for the reward from man? Or are you doing good because it is a character that God puts in us that we should show Christ from our life? I hope it's the last reason. Okay. Therefore, you do good with perseverance. Okay. Doing good needs some staying behind power. Okay. You don't do some good and then you feel there's no good in doing good, so you stop. Okay. And only if you do good by perseverance, you are proven to seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And for these people, God guarantees eternal life. And same word, hupomone, we can see a series of events where perseverance is the connector. Having been justified by faith, look at these underlying words, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope for the glory of God. See, the faith starts the salvation. The hope is the inheritance of the promise. And what connects them? We exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. You see, there's a series of events. By tribulation, it brings about perseverance. And by perseverance, it brings proven character. By proven character, you have the hope, the assured hope. Why? Because we know God is holy. We know that we are sinful. We know that light and darkness cannot coexist. When they are together, the darkness just gets destroyed, right? So how can we have the assured hope of being together with the holy God for eternity? We must have a new life, and this new life is all light and no darkness. You see, by being born again, we are given the new nature, and this new nature does not sin. However, we still have an old nature residing in our soul, in our flesh, and that we have to struggle with it. But that thing will pass away. The new nature will stay. See, only by you going through perseverance and have proven character, you know that you have the new life that is agreeing with God in character, in holiness, and in righteousness. And only then you can have the assurance that you can be with God for eternity in peace and love. See, there is a series of events, and the perseverance is a connector in the middle. He will render to each person according to his deeds to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. I've done this, right? Okay. Now, the next one, for in hope we have been saved, and by hope but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Again, it is perseverance that links your faith to your hope. Okay. And the next, for whatever has written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You see again, perseverance is the connector between faith and hope. So here is a summary on perseverance. Perseverance is to stay behind when others are pressured to leave. Perseverance is an expected trait of New Testament believers. Perseverance is the connector between salvation and hope, which is glorification. See, you have salvation, you have sanctification, you have glorification. Okay, perseverance is actually synonym to sanctification. Only by persevering you get chiseled out the unnecessary part and you are made beautiful as part of the bride of Christ. And perseverance is the connector between salvation and glorification, because by receiving grace with faith we have peace. That's the beginning. By perseverance in tribulation we are sanctified to have proven character, and by proven character we have the assured hope, which is eternal life in holiness with God in love. Finally, we will end with some biblical exhortations on patience, endurance, and perseverance. Number one, do not give up on God when time is tough. God is always in control, even when evil reigns temporarily. Have that faith, then you will not despair. Number two, do not give up on yourself when you failed one test for faithfulness or multiple tests. Okay. God is faithful, and He forgives. However, just repent and restart your life. Do not become a habitual advantage taker, and that is being an ingrate and a parasite. For that kind of people, I don't know if they're saved or not. Okay. Truly saved people, do not give up on yourself. Any time that you had weakness and you stumbled, just repent and restart. And God always gives a second chance. However, we should never purposefully take advantage of God's forgiveness. Okay. And do not give up on others when they fail expectations, and be patient as God is with you. Okay. Never explode nor be crushed. Stay for the long haul. And do not stop the journey to know God more. Don't think you already know Him. He is infinite. You can't know Him all. And He is infinitely wonderful. The more you know about Him, the more wonderful you will feel. Okay. And do not stop serving Him and others. There are always needs and opportunities to prove us useful. Okay. And be faithful. Stay and serve. And wait until the most important thing for Christians, that's the word from our Lord, when we meet Him face to face. Remember, He is our loving Master. He redeemed us by giving us His whole life, right? And His word, welcome thy faithful servant, it should be the goal of our life. And with that, we will try to be patient, enduring, and perseverant. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank You for giving us Your clear word. It reveals to us that Your process of making man is a long, patient process. Even though we have failed Your expectation at times, but Your faithfulness never fails, and Your love will prove to never fail at the end. We pray that by learning Your word, the Holy Spirit will let them sink down into our heart. But we have been loved to the uttermost. But entering the loving relationship means that we should learn faithfulness, patience, and perseverance. And only by that we can have the assured hope of eternal salvation, to live with a loving, holy God in peace forever. And for that day, we wait for the greeting from our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.